Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
LeBron James with no regard for human life. Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name is Nick Engvall with my guys Rohit and Robbie. We're going to talk about some World Cup shoes, some soccer for our American fans, some football for our non-American fans, or the real ones as we like to refer to them. And first we're going to do some rocking and copping because that's how we roll around here. So what's good, guys? What are you guys rocking and copping lately?
I think, man, Robbie has been blessed by the shoe god, so I think let's just let clear an ISO for Robbie and let him go.
As yeah. We've been blessed by the shoe gods, the weather gods have not been blessing the Pacific Northwest. And with that said, I got really lucky for these Adidas Terrex beautiful ass shoes to come in. So these are a collaboration with Mark Gonzalez. I'm pretty sure a lot of us here are familiar with Mark Gonzalez, longtime Adidas collaborator, skateboarding legend, artist, just all around icon in the space. These are the Sky Chaser GTX. They have full Gore-Tex, everything. They have Continental, good lugs on there. They have the Ortholite insoles in here with the nice little Mark Gonzalez graphic on the inside. But I've been wearing these for a day and a half straight now, and they look brand new. Like, Gore-Tex is always known for being great, but like white Gore-Tex with pink and red hits, and for these to be poured on nonstop and to have no issues with them still, other than just like a little heel drag, we'll take it. But like, they did a really cool pop-up here in Portland at this skate shop called Tactics. If you're in the Portland area, or I believe there's a store in Beaverton too, or Eugene, not Beaverton, in Eugene.
Eugene.
If you need any kind of skateboarding needs from Adidas or any other brands, that's a great place to support local, support an actual skateboarding community, and get some shoes. So last week they did a pop-up with these and the clothing that has like the schmoofoil on it, the little like ghost Adidas skateboarding guy on it, which is both the cutest thing and I think one of the best ways to remix a logo without doing too much to it. Just taking the trifoil and spinning it like that is really sweet. But these Sky Chaser GTX are available now, again, in full Gore-Tex. So as the springtime starts coming, and it starts raining every single day like it is here. What's even funnier is the Shamrock race in Portland this weekend. I couldn't imagine doing like a real race outside. But if I had to, I'd be wearing these. So they're 170 out now, available at adidas.com and certain specialty stores. There's a whole clothing capsule with it too. So be sure to check those out. And normally I don't like a Tongle, but like these have been great. I'm sure how to hold these so I can show you. There's these little like arrows pointing to what to do. So you pull this out and it kind of tells you to put lace lock thing in through so they don't fly all over the place. More brands need to have a nice little textured little
storytelling.
I don't know. John did a great job. The black hoodie is great upstairs. I should have been wearing it right now. That's my bad. But the Gore-Tex is unmissable. And for next week, for Coppin, go buy a pair of Adrenaline GTS 10s. We'll talk about these more from Brooks next week. But I'm going to get out of here now. I'm going to have Rohit show off those really cool, let's call it a Mamba moment.
Mamba moment. Probably the second most famous pink Kobe sneaker, because as we'll kind of get to later on in this episode, we all know what number one is, and we're all ready. We're all ready for it. It's the World Cup year. That's what this episode's going to be about. But this is awesome. Love it. I've never owned a pair of any three, so it's interesting that I decided to go with the lows. But also, big wrestling fan. I'm getting Bret the Hitman Hart vibes, so whenever I get those vibes, I tend to cop. Nick, what about you? What are you rocking? What are you copping?
Hopefully, I'm copping those Mark Gonzalez joints at some point in the near future. But rocking, I've been wearing the Formula One pack from Reebok, the Pump Furies from about 2013. I also wrote a ton of stuff, and I'm still writing a ton more stuff on the newsletter. I've got two issues of the newsletter out that are diving into the Formula One stuff to start the season. And so naturally, once I pull these out to take some pictures of them, I'm going to wear them. So I imagine they'll sit by the door for quite a while at this point, because that's usually how I work.
My Aries Instapump Furies a collab with a brand called Aries from like 2 years ago, sit by the back door constantly. The ultimate slide on shoe. And Rohit, the three low is better than the three high. That's one of the few shoes where I wholeheartedly feel like the Kobe three low looks better as a low top than the high top.
That's a, that might be a hot take for some of our listeners. I feel like
I like
some diehard high top fans. With
well, the shoe Rohit was alluding to, we'll discuss later, came in high top and low top. So they've done it many, many times in the Kobe line where they fully mix it up. Or, you know, they do what the 2 did and kind of do like a V2. There's V3s like the Kobe 7 and 8, you know, many things. But the 3 low, that's a kicker. I'd like to see some World Cup colorways maybe on that shoe coming up. Who knows?
Not only that, I mean, speaking of Oregon 3 lows, we just saw that the Kobe Oregon PEs came out. And if you can't tell me that doesn't look like a Brazil colorway, I don't know what to tell you. But like I said, it's a World Cup episode. We're very excited for all this. So we've got the fever. The Mamba Curios can't get here enough. And I think for all four of us, including Mike, who's not here, 3 pairs would suffice. So that's 12 pairs, Nike. Do your thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So definitely the top of my Kobe wish list is the Mamba Curio. So
Rohit's definitely going to lead this charge, but I just want to take a moment here to say something nice to start an episode off with nice Nike words. And I'm passing away to Rohit. Maybe we can go a little further than this because I don't know the boot history behind this. But those Air Max 90 World Cup boot hybrids that have like the synthetic soccer texture on the inside, it's a really cool idea. They're not for me particularly, but A+ on the ideas. The execution looks cool. I think that's a cool shoe. Rohit, tell us more about, let's kick off soccer time with that. Those are cool.
All right, it is soccer time. So the first 2 shoes that Robbie mentioned are some Air Maxes. And what we're going to see specifically is a Hypervenom colorway, which is that black and orange that's synonymous with that silhouette. And then the T90 Laser, which is a yellow and black. And to Robbie's point as well, it is, what is the positive version of the word jarring? Because jarring is always a negative word to me. Because it's like, it obviously evokes an emotion, but it tends to be negative. But what's the positive equivalent? Because that's how I feel about the orange and black hyper bold. We'll go with that.
Dramatic.
I like the orange and black. Dramatic.
Shakingly bold.
Shakingly bold. Man, if that doesn't sound like a Taco Bell tagline.
You're welcome, Taco Bell.
Oh, I've got a $1 billion idea at the end of this that I'm sure everybody's already thought of, but we'll get there when we get there. But 2 silhouettes, Air Max 90s. I believe they're coming out at the start of the summer, but you can't go wrong either way. I also like the fact that this seems to be a continuation of last year, which I still can't tell if the crypto shot from last year was an April Fool's joke that we've all decided to collectively forget as a society, or are they ever going to come out? And just for that quick history lesson, those are the shoes that were essentially cleats, but they put a clear outsole on the bottom of them because there was a time, listener, that lest we forget, just last year, kids were wearing proper soccer boots out and about in concrete jungles, and Uncle Ro, Uncle Nick, Uncle Robbie, we would just laugh if any of you fell on your face as it relates to those particular models. But I guess that was an April Fool's joke because we are not seeing any sort of thing of it. But this is something I would gladly cop. And I'm not even a big Air Max guy, but I'll defer to 2 Air Max guys. Nick, do either of these catch your eye or would you wear them? Because one of them does look like a San Francisco Giants colorway. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think this is like a... like a cool way to tie the 2, you know, categories together. Like we default as, you know, the creative ideas behind the scenes. And even like, you know, you get into like the kind of the forced elements of like, hey, World Cup's coming, so let's make a Brazil Air Max 90, which, you know, nothing against that shoe. Everybody that is a fan of Brazil and like thinks of football in that way probably wants that shoe at some point, right? The same way that people look at the dunks and see a color palette or a palette, and then they see the colors of their team applied. But I think this is like, both of these are just really great, like different enough, crazy enough to look boot-ish, but also like has enough of like the OG Air Max styling silhouette to like be appealing. So I think this is a shoe, this is like one of those shoes that doesn't hit right away and people are kind of dismissive of it, and then like 5-10 years from now people are going to be like just blown away by it and like chasing after it.
So Nick, you brought up a great point, the cross section of 2 different categories. That's really hard to do, and I'm not comparing these directly to like the Sean Weatherspoon 1997s at all. But what they do right in that same vein is if you're going to mix two different silhouettes, you have to execute the best parts of both. And you have to do it different enough from each shoe to where it makes its own lane. So it's like you have two train tracks that then cross, right? And then become one train track. That's not possible. Anywho, but like that's the visual of it. Like we still don't know if the Weatherspoon is like a 90 or a 97. People go back and forth like what that, or no, it's a 197. Pardon me. It's a 197. But yeah. Like people go back and forth like what that shoe is. And that's cool. These are obviously an Air Max, but the Hypervenom era blends so well into it that while it's obviously an Air Max 90, it's so detached from that normal lineage in a way that succeeds that like the 91 didn't. Or when you do like, you know, X, Y, and Z, right? When you try to do a little bit change on an Air Max model, but not enough of a change. This is a big enough departure from the norm to where it kind of creates its own space and fills that space really well.
And those cross collaboration across categories, a lot of alliteration there kind of. At the same time, like that's the type of storytelling we like. I know when Kyrie had his cross collaboration with Kyrgios, like that was a fire show.
Yeah.
Jordan Federer, I think, rewrote what you could consider to be like a tasteful homage to the Jordan 3 that I think for a lot of people, that was a grail in its own right, which is saying something considering what the source material was, which was the Elephant 3s. And in this case, like I love the fact that Robbie brought this up because not only that, what month are we in? We're in Air Max month. So, I mean, as we kind of go through the rest of the, lack of a better term, product catalog that we're going to go through, it does seem to put a lot of stake in terms of the Air Max franchise as it relates to the World Cup, which is going to be a flagpole event for Nike and Adidas this year. So love to see brands capitalizing on that.
Yeah, I think too, like the thing about both of these, right, is when I think of boots, I think of the different materials and the textures. And I think that's the overarching, like, broad appeal when I see it is like, oh, the dimples, the, you know, like the, like you talked about like kids wearing cleats, you know, in the real world, which is like, I don't know, maybe I would have done the same thing because I was pretty fuck everybody, I'm going to do my own thing as a teenager. But it's one of those things where like you start to think about the design of boots and playing and all of the things that you've seen over the years, the, you know, the cross stitch patterns, the diamond patterns that are on boots, like across brands even. And I think, you know, like looking at the other brands, thinking about Adidas and stuff, you almost have to have more to it. Like, you know, I'm a fan of some of the Adidas stuff we'll talk about. And I'm a fan of some of the stuff that I've seen from Puma that I didn't pull up for this, but they released some new boots recently that are like the street shoes are like really cool looking. And I have a bunch of like football, soccer, like indoor shoes. I'm not like a huge fan. Like it's like fifth or sixth on my, you know, level of sports, but like it's levels up above American football. So like my collection has a bunch of those nuanced things. And what I love about all those shoes is the different textures, the different materials, the different stitch patterns. There's so much more when you think about it, because the ball control aspect of it that has kind of been like, I don't know, not being somebody who doesn't necessarily play in any competitive way, I don't know how much that is real or it's just a marketing thing, but it's a fun, like, for a consumer to see that, it's a very fun connection to make, I think, which is really
makes
cool
them look official.
It. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
Like Bro, what does the heel say? I can't tell what the heel says, and I can't find it. It has like a long, the yellow pair sure. has the like a long, I'm trying to find it.
Oh, it just says total 90 written across.
Total 90. Oh, total 90 instead of, okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
And I mean, to your point, Robbie, both the Hypervenom and the T90 Laser have homages to their initial boots. And it's ironically eerily similar to what we kind of saw later on in life, or I guess previously on life, in terms of when Kobe, especially with the Kobe 7, one of the joys of that shoe, and there's not a lot of joy to be found with that shoe, was always trying to see what were the different imagery that were on the heel. So that's another kind of prime real estate that we often don't see get utilized. Or if we do see it get utilized, it almost becomes an afterthought. But in this case, it's tasteful because it provides a direct linkage to what inspired these shoes. But then it also gives this current shoe its own identity to breathe on its own.
So one final plug of the newsletter. If you haven't read the newsletter from like maybe 2 months ago now, Nike actually lost the... I can't believe this happened, but they lost the trademark for T90. I forget if it's T90 specifically or Total 90, but somebody like redid once it lapsed, somebody got it, like some LLC in some random state. So if you look at these shoes, it's really interesting to see that there's not a T90 or a Total 90 on the shoes at all. There's 90 on the backs, there's Total 90 spelled out, there's a bunch of variations of it, but it doesn't have the like original
iconic 90 circle. Iconic.
Yeah, which is maybe a really
why I couldn't
thing.
Say that they had to spell it out the classic way to get around it. Because I've seen that Total 90 spelled in that print, but I've never seen it spelled that way. So interesting.
Yeah, because to your point, Robbie, like usually you'll see the total spelled out, but the number 90 would always be there. But to Nick's point, lapses in trademark have led us to be very creative from a Beaverton side. So not that is one of those. Yep.
And then sometimes you've got to change the facade a little bit, you know?
Listen, man, there's a reason why we go to Turkey for hair plugs. They're just the masters at it.
So there's also, let's keep it moving a little bit. The Air Max 95 England. Fantastic shoe. I'm not going to buy the 95 neon retro because my pair from 2019 or 2021, whatever, are super clean still. So I'm good there. But I'm very interested in this England colorway.
Describe it a little for the listener on me because then
it's like what I like about it's like simplicity with the Air Max 95 can either look really dumb or really good. These look so clean because just a little bit of hint gray throughout like the kind of dermis levels on the side panel and this the little eye stays, little levers in the 1990 style lace holders. Those being red and how they go through the netting like it should on an Air Max 95. Like they try sometimes to change elements on the 95 that take away from what makes the 95 great. I want to be able to see that color hit through the mesh going across the shoe. Just adding the English shield or crest on the tongue, great hit. I don't need to see it everywhere else. I don't need to see it in the heel or a pattern or graphic. Just really clean white and red. Like they're not going to go on sale, but like these are super clean. Like, at the right price point, I'd be very interested in buying them.
So it's interesting you mentioned the price point, Robbie, because one thing I learned as I was kind of doing the research for this episode was in certain parts of England, specifically Liverpool, these aren't even called Air Max 95s. These are called 110s. And like that was a really cool homage
shout
to me.
Central C.
Central C, shout outs. I think he upgraded from a Yaris to a Urus. I feel like I don't hear that enough, but at the same time, it's goals. But what else is goals is the fact that the 110 comes from the price tag of the shoe when it was initially offered. And like you said, there's a popular ideology with the English football team about it's coming home. I don't think the World Cup is coming home, but I mean, for the right price, these are definitely coming home with me and most red-blooded American and Englishmen.
They're, I don't know, it's like England, there's other colors, obviously, but it's super simple, super understated. And like the kits, which we're going to talk about here in a moment, are very bold for a lot of these teams. So I think having a really clean, understated shoe is a nice balance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nick, anything from you from a Air Max 95? Like, has there been a precedence established where like Nike did something similar specifically for England in this or other silhouettes?
I feel like the 95 has more connected colorways, let's say, than other Air Max models. But it's a beautiful shoe. Like, I actually, I was going to say that my favorite of what I've seen so far is actually the France Air Max Plus with like the purple blue, you know, like that shoe lends itself to that like color palette better, I think, than a 95 would anyway. But I don't know. Like, I mean, it's.
Well, let's talk more about that. 'Cause the French one is like fantastic also. Like,
yeah. And I think Europe in general embraces Air Max way more than America does. You know, like America is like, a little bit split up with Air Force Ones and Dunks and, you know, SB and all this stuff. So like you have like more of a core, you know, I don't want to say smarter, but like most Air Max are more comfortable than Air Force Ones and Dunks to me. But
it's a rabid following, to say the least, because to your point, when you go abroad, so often your perception of what is hot or what is not is grounded obviously by where you live. And if you're a fortunate traveler, maybe you can kind of go here, there, and everywhere within a country. But if you truly glow across the world, that's where like you see the deepness of the Nike catalog or an Adidas catalog, because as we'll also kind of touch on with some of the Sambas as well, like knock on wood, this is not going to be an episode where I think we flog anyone. Everybody has come out with their A game as it relates to these. And going back to the Air Max France, like this is, to me, if France is fortunate enough to win the World Cup, this should be the post-game shoe that they're all wearing on the podium, because it is just spellbinding in person. Maybe that's the word instead of jarring. Spellbinding. There you
go. Spellbinding. Spellbinding. That's a good one.
I don't want to go down this rabbit hole at all, but to what Nick just said, Air Maxes, they can be shaped what I feel like for not the most ergonomical everyday human being. Like the Air Max Plus, I love those French ones. Air Max Plus hurt my feet. They straight up do. I'd rather wear a pair of broken in Air Force Ones or even like a mildly worn Air Force One over an Air Max Plus any day. But the 95 fits my foot much better. Rather wear a 95 over an Air Force One. So there's levels to it. Of the two, I think the maximal, or I guess the more spellbinding nature of the Air Max Plus France is cooler looking than the Air Max 95 England. But because the Air Max 95 England fits my foot better.
Yeah.
And it's a little more chill. I lean more towards that one while still acknowledging that the Plus is great. Just my foot don't like wearing Pluses.
Yeah, that's fair. That 95 is beautiful, guy. Though. Wait, what?
That, I said the plus is a minus for my guy over there.
Yeah. I mean, and like the cool thing about this is like, to your point, Rod, I think everybody's kind of already bringing their A game. Like there's just so much good stuff already on the calendar and you know, being pushed out through PR people and whatever. And that's like that's exciting to me because there's always the chance that the first stuff that you see is just like, man, that's whack. And then like it puts you off, you know, not that you're not going to want, like, I mean, we'll get into the Adidas stuff, but like, you know, 94 being the denim, like that they're pulling from for their story. That was like the most prominent World Cup for me because it was in LA. It was, you know, it was, I don't want to give Alexi Lalas any credit, but it was Alexi Lalas. You know, like that whole experience for me being in high school and watching that was like the first wow factor. It's like it felt like we just standardized the feeling of the Super Bowl pre good halftime shows. But like for soccer in the U.S. So like it just kind of leveled up the presence of the World Cup for me and the paying attention to soccer in that era. And then now to see them go back to it is like it's like a good like pull from your roots kind of story to me that, you know, again, not necessarily on the comfort level, like, you know, superstars and Sambas are not bad by any means, but I'm definitely throwing move insoles in them and, you know, like trying to make them more comfortable so I can get through the day if I'm wearing them all day.
That's a young man's foot shoe.
Yeah.
Cause I wear Sambas. I keep a pair by the door also. And I look at them. And then I put on the Insta Pump Furies. So it's like literally, they're not very comfortable.
Yeah, but those move insoles definitely make a young man feel like an old man or the opposite. Who knows? But
here's my cheat code. When you get a free pair of Sambas, when you get a clean pair of Sambas, not a free pair, a clean pair of Sambas, like fresh, wear them in the house. And when you're watching TV, take them off. And I'm going to use these Brooks as an example. And just sit with like your heel pressure all on this back part. So the leather heel like loosens up. I'll sit there for like 2 days and I was like, smash that in. So yeah,
you got, I think there's something to be said about that too, because there's a lot of shoes that if I wore them enough, they would be way more comfortable, you know, 10, 20, 30 wears in than they are with a handful of wears, which is kind of like the downside of being into sneakers is like, you don't really, shoes that need to be broken in, you have to be really intentional to break them in and get that leather, you know, like from either wear and funny on your heels, your ankles or whatever. So it's definitely a something I think people could relate to.
So speaking of Sambas, what do we make of the Adidas 2026 Federation Pack? And those are essentially Sambas for Japan, Mexico, and Italy. Because I'll tell you what, everybody knows where my corporate allegiances lie, but out of all the shoes that we're going to preview today outside of the hallowed Mamba Curio, this Adidas Japan shoe is something real special.
Yeah, I mean, I think they nailed it with all of this, right? Like, I think this is like, I mean, it's just what I would want to see. In a lot of ways, not knowing what I would want to see, but then seeing it, it's like, that's it, if that makes sense.
No, less is more. There's a simplicity to it. And dare I say, it's kind of a Buddhist approach towards sneaker design, because like we mentioned with the Air Max 95 that Robbie penned a beautiful love letter to, there's just simplicity when done right is excellent. And all of these shoes, it's not too complex from a colorway or a color rocking perspective, but then at the same time, it's memorable enough that you can't get these out of your head if you see them in person. At the same time, Nick, like, you being the Samba guy that you are, and more importantly, I really wish like Robbie would give us a breakdown on how he would make these three sneakers break in himself. We've also seen that there are offerings for not just Mexico, Italy, and Japan. There's also going to be offerings for Brazil and Germany. And now, obviously, with Brazil, that is a Nike-sponsored country through and through. But once again, Adidas has a way of kind of getting around the edges of legal parameters and still telling a decent story. So that's what we see with some of the indoor specials that they've got. And then I would be remiss if I didn't mention Robbie's handball special as it relates to Germany, because the thing is, this will also be the last World Cup that Adidas will be sponsoring Germany. So they're also going out in a bang in terms of making sure that people know that Germany and Adidas are going to be a partnership for at least one more big major tournament.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like part of the fun of you know, World Cup, anything that's like this level of like global participation, Olympics, World Cup. I say this in like maybe a little caveat that America goes a little too America sometimes. But then when I see other countries do this and like embrace that, it's like, yeah, I get it. This is cool. Like if I had roots from there, or if I was from there, I'd be totally into this, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And going back to your analogy about the fact that every World Cup game is a Super Bowl for those countries. Sometimes it may not feel that way for established powers like Germany, Brazil, England, France, but like the Curaçaos, the Ecuadors, the San Verdes, like this is essentially for a lot of people, their first foray onto the global stage. And that can be so energizing. And we kind of touched on this in a previous episode about Bad Bunny and how Bad Bunny listed all these different Latin American countries. And there's this really nice video of a girl in Ecuador perking up because this is the first time she's seen Ecuador, her home country, get that acknowledgement and on that broad of a stage. So like, I can only imagine it's a similar feeling.
Yeah. I think too, like there's like the broad appeal of like the subtleness of it too, across that, right? Where like this is like to kind of to that story, this is like almost like a cross-generationally does like appeal with this design for Japan and Mexico, Italy, like having even just the subtle stuff, like there's like just something about that to me that's like, you know, I'm not, and I think this is like World Cup or maybe Olympic specific, but like I'm not necessarily going to be running out with like, you know, the 92 Dream Team Stars and Stripes kind of, you know, jumpsuits or whatever that they wore. And like I could never see like my parents, grandparents, you know, wearing those types of things. But when it's subtle enough that you could see like this could be something that people bring home to the family and like everybody in the family gets a pair, I think that's a really cool way to think about designing for an event that is obviously multi-generational, you know, and has so much history. But also like part of that is what gets people excited, gets the younger generation excited too, that I think is kind of an under talked about part.
Underappreciated, underreported.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Are you guys talking about the Adidas soccer old school denim stuff?
No.
We can segue into that.
But yeah,
we were talking about the handball special, Robbie. I know that was a near and dear one to your and my heart based on pre-show conversations that, thankfully, listener, you will never be privy to.
No. I play pocket pool, not handball. It's different. There's, this thing about what our parents would wear, like mixing about what our parents would or wouldn't wear, seeing these USA denim Sambas, Superstars, and Superstar Highs are a little too patriotic for me, I think. I'm trying to think of a way to say it. They're not bad at all. They're just a little too patriotic than I want to be. I'm very fortunate to have a very cool looking, I think, it was a 90s World Cup. I have a Kith Adidas Team USA soccer jersey that says Kith instead of USA on it. But it's styled the same way as it's fading stars. Yeah. The light stars in the navy, kind of like this. Kits. So I already have that. So I can't go stars on stars. If Travis Barker taught me anything, he goes stars and stripes. But
you're the star as far as I'm concerned, right?
And that's three stars, it's too many.
It's either too many or too few, right? Because we're all five stars around here. Maybe you got this
out of the way. I'm a five-star man who has not yet nearly hit his peak. And there's just only so many stars I can wear in clothing at one time. Not bad at all. So if you went, I think these are great. If you're the opposite of us and you have a very athletic build and you have guns, you're going to crush it in a white t-shirt and some jeans and those shoes on, crushing it.
Brother,
I think of
brother. I just want to yell USA, USA as you keep going.
To give the listeners a visual, I think Anthony from Queer Eye on Netflix, I follow him on socials. He's gotten really buff, but he's very handsome Anthony. Him in a little white, tight white t-shirt wearing those Adidas, crushing it all day. Gang, gang. I love that too.
Gang?
I love him.
I'm also,
buy his cookbook. I use his cookbook regularly too. But I can see him muscular guns, white t-shirt, Adidas stars and stripes, crushing it this summer.
And I think it's really ironic because we all know about the Canadian tuxedo.
Or Lexi Hull or somebody WNBA star, tan, maybe the opposite of guns for a man mill, fit, whatever women want their arms to look like. I don't know. I don't want to put any woman into a box, but I just see.
You're telling me I can't get one of these in a 3XL and go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch the World Cup?
You could, but you're not going to say,
brother, why do that when you got the midterms coming? Because that's when Trump is really going to win.
Oh,
that's,
my God. You, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. That's, speaking, I imagine like Alexi these... Hole. No, the other one's in it. Not the other one. Who's the other Indiana Fever player? She's the Adidas athlete.
Sophie Cunningham.
That's who I'm thinking of. Their backcourt, they look not all the same, but they look similar to one another. And they both play in the same backcourt. Pardon me. Go WNBA.
Happy International Women's Day to all our female listeners.
I'm a season ticket holder for the W. But I just got that mixed up. I was thinking of the Adidas athlete. So yeah, Sophie Cunningham is who I can imagine. Or Anthony. Very attractive, very, put together. Sure. Has a personal chef, or you are a personal chef. I don't know.
The defining factor.
All I want to know is keep letting Robbie cook, because that was a fantastic mom. Now, I'll just say this, and kudos for America for stealing the concept of a Canadian tuxedo and putting it on our football kit way back when in the 90s, and now the streetwear resurgence of that looks good. I mean, I think all the promotional material that I do see is it's become a skateboarder's style of choice, which I think, yeah, that's another one of those cross-cultural categorical things we want to continue to embolden, which is soccer kits are probably really good to skate in. So why not?
And also, then I guess everything repeats itself.
So, to that, you would never think Mark Gonzalez being the pro skateboarder, skateboarding icon, that he would release a Terex outdoor shoe. The lines are blurred, people. You don't have to be in one lane. Nigel wears Air Jordans. Mark Gonzalez has a Terex collab. There's an Air Max 90 soccer boot. It is what it is. We're in cool times.
Get you a partner that can do both, or all three, or all four. We're no longer in a single lane.
That partner would be ACG or trainer or... Oh, wait. Never mind. That's a different...
Please.
You know what? I do have a comment to interject here. We're gonna jump off of World Cup for 20 seconds. Isn't it crazy that we're getting denim World Cup shoes? And the Converse denim shoes from the Kentucky War just came back. What's going on in the world?
We're prepping for World War III.
So
denim. Literally history repeating itself.
Big fashion VC in like 2015 said, we're going to eventually make the biggest fucking pants ever. This is a true story. They needed, with any cultural change and shifts in the big design language like that, you have to do it slowly. So first it was the mom jean. The jean went higher, a little wider, then a little wider, then a little lower, then a little wider. Now it's getting wider, wider, wider. So now we release denim shoes that make it look like you're wearing no shoes because your denim pants cascade over the shoe so much. So whenever the shoe does show, it needs to be denim just to like for consistency. But I've officially seen pants, coincidentally, worn by Anthony, like the biggest, like squarest flared pants I've ever seen, wide leg pants. And it's all because VC said, we need to sell different kinds of pants. We've been doing skinny for too long. We need to make money a different way. We're going to eventually and gradually introduce the wider and wider, so people look stupider and stupider wearing skinny pants. And then they feel bad about wearing skinny pants and then go buy new pants so they had more money. Denim shoes.
Also, wider pants is like three times the amount of denim they have to buy, so like they can charge more for it probably.
There's the one I'm looking forward to are JNCO overlords taking over again.
I'm going to push this back into what I saw. The very cultural relevant, I will say, very hip relevant Jordan brand activation for the Brazil stuff. Those pants were wider than Wiley Cyrus. I don't know. Like they were wide. Is that the new jersey, Rowett?
That is the new away kit. The Jordan away kit dropped as of last night, which was the 12th, and this morning.
So, Rowett, were the shorts in that collection too, or were those different Jordan shorts? Because those Jordan black pants that guy was wearing, he's giving very sizzle eye in the video. He had the biggest, looks like pleather Nike wide leg JNCO shorts.
Basically, it's like a tracksuit. Like, you just think of that picture of Carmelo in the suit in the NBA draft. It's the tracksuit version of Jordan applied to Brazilian football. That's the pants Robbie's talking about.
And the irony of all ironies was when I was able to go to my local stop and pick up some of the Brazil stuff that I did pick up, the shorts were conspicuously missing. And when I asked an associate about that, they said, yeah, they are delayed. So clearly, I think they're only going to expand them more and more because the demand for that is getting at a fever pitch.
I think also, speaking of, since we're talking about a bunch of cross-culture stuff, the Jordan Brazil shirt, I think it's a shirt, it might be a hoodie, that has the giant goal, like, and it's all like cartoon-like, all comic book-like. Very like mass appeal for an audience that is not normally on maybe Jordan Brand's radar for typical sports. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. No, it does. And it's really funny because some of the other offerings that they've kind of rolled out as a part of the complimentary streetwear thing, because for the listener that may or may not be aware, Jordan Brand dropped the Brazil away kit, and that comes in the normal replica as well as the authentic product that you would see the athletes wear in the field this summer. But then there was a corresponding streetwear kit that seemed heavily influenced by, dare I say, North American sports, because some of the sweatshirts felt a little bit more like a hockey jersey. And I don't think I could ever think of Jordan Brand dipping so heavily into other sports outside of basketball and American football. So kudos to them for like being able to leverage all their resources, because it does open up a new pathway for them for not only new endorsers, but new endorsees and new customers.
Agreed. Totally agreed. All right. What else do we have that we haven't talked about?
So one thing, if I can call for an ISO. So interesting thing about all of this is the fact that the Brazil kit that was released today or yesterday or whenever you're listening to this, listener, is in the traditional blue away kit that we've always associated with Brazil. Yeah. Brazil does a home yellow kit and they do a home blue kit. Now, what was interesting for this particular World Cup, and because of Jordan Brand's involvement, the initial away kit was going to be red and black. And there was an uproar by the Brazilian government that they felt that if they went to market with that product, it would be an incendiary product, not only in terms of the imagery, but then also the fact that it may cause political unrest, which was interesting. But long story short, that product was scrapped, and now we get the more familiar tried and true blue method of the away kit. Now, that being said, if you scoured the different parts of the internet that Nick, Robbie, and I tend to scour, there's also a thought that that red kit may or may not be released to recoup some of the investment that they may have made. And if that is the case, the one thing I would ask Jordan Brand is run back the band campaign, because it just makes so much more sense. And as a company that is so heavily invested in retros, why not bring this to a new audience that doesn't know the band story firsthand and apply it in a way that makes the World Cup, which is already probably one of the most memorable events for Brazilian, reach that new upper echelon of storytelling? Because they've got a healthy blend of established and new upcoming stars like Vinicius Jr. and Estevao, and being able to give them that red-black treatment and then hovering over them face down, and then you see the kit, and then you see the infamous band, like, come on, that's easy money as far as I'm concerned. And I'm sure Jordan Brand has already thought of this and they've probably already shot it down for various and non-various reasons. But at the same time, give us what we want, which is that red and black kit.
I mean, it is really interesting. Like, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole because this is a whole episode on its own. But we've gotten to the point where, and we talked about in previous episode with the sneaker stuff in the NBA, we've gotten to the point where everything is so free will, colors everywhere that, like, most people don't care. And there is something, I'm not a traditional person by any stretch of imagination, but there is something to be said about just keeping with, like, the tradition of colors, especially for, you know, teams that are, you know, that we're talking about, like, countries that flags are represented, you know, like, you're talking about hundreds or thousands of years in some cases where that's been the go-to for them, and the story behind it doesn't necessarily need the, you know, and I know that's not just Nike, but it's like the thing that I instantly think about is the Seattle Seahawks. Like, they go from, like, very traditional, I think, color combination to, like, okay, we're gonna throw all sorts of different jersey colors, you know, this Volt color, this, like, lime green, you know, I forget what the official color is of that now, Scream Green Volt, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and like, I get that you've got to sell more jerseys, but also 50 years of a fan base or whatever the team's been around for, 100 years for some of these teams, like, the majority of the people just want the regular updated version. They want to see, like, the new version with a little bit of a different style. You know, you're already putting the Jordan logo over the top of Brazil. That's not something that I can remember seeing. So, like, they're gonna be interested in getting it to say, oh, Brazil is sponsored by Jordan now. And, like, a blue hoodie with a yellow and green is, like, kind of just, like, it's good. You know, like, you don't really have to mess it up. So, anyway, I'll get off the soapbox with that. But I do think there's something to be said about traditional colors when it comes to, like, global sporting events.
And I get where you're coming from, Nick. And I think part of what was frustrating to me is tradition for right or wrong reasons. And had they always stuck with the blue kit, that would have been fine. Not an eyebrow would have been raised. But for those of us that follow this stuff in a passionate way that you and I do, seeing that semblance of a brand new idea was intriguing and was exciting. And I think what also kind of infuriated me about it all was the rationale behind the cancellation of it all, in terms of, okay, we're canceling this because of the fact that we feel that there is a political unrest that may happen associated with this specific shirt. Now, that being said, that's all well and good, but the canary yellow that is synonymous with the Brazilian football team was also weaponized in a political way when it kind of essentially served as the MAGA equivalent for Brazil and Bolsonaro and the far right movement. Yeah. So that's one of those things where I kind of see, and maybe this is something that I'm just going to miss because I'm not a Brazilian citizen, I'm not living in Brazil, and maybe I shouldn't talk about such things, but because I'm an American, I feel like I can kind of utilize my freedom of speech to go down the same rabbit hole or that soapbox and just say, it's not the same, and it's not fair that if you are going to curtail one thing because of the sheer excitement or the sheer volatility of it, then where was that rationale? Why didn't you also update the canary yellow because of the fact that it got co-opted the way that it did? And maybe I would feel differently if I fell on the different side of the political spectrum as Mr. Bolsonaro, but then at the same time, this is the complicated world that we live in. So it's one of those things that I guess we sometimes have to rely on the soccer, the World Cup, the NBA, the skateboarding to distract us from it all.
Totally. I think too, like, it is one of those things that's just a reminder of, like, how much we need people from everywhere across the world, the planet, the backgrounds, the ethnicities, preferences, all of it need to be a part of all of these things when we're creating these products, right? Like, and it's not to dig at anybody who designed that particular kit, but it's like we constantly talk about it in a lot of ways where we're wanting equality, we're wanting representation for all these people across all the different, you know, backgrounds that people come from. And yet we still have this inherent nature as, like, you know, companies to create without the input, without the people in the room that should be in the room to create those products, I think is what that's just the way I feel about it. I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea who, you know, is behind designing this time around, but, you know, I think that it is just a good reminder that we should invite the right people in the room and make sure that the right people are in the room when we're going to tell a story about a certain group of people.
Yep. Perfectly said. And we're at 46 minutes, which usually is halftime for most soccer games. So I figure why not cut it now, Nick? Tell them where they can find you.
Sounds good, man. Well, mostly you can find me at thesneakernewsletter.com lately. I'm writing about 3 or 4 times a week over there about more business oriented stuff, but also trying to share some of my sneaker collection for the first time in many, many moons. At Nick Engvall on all the platforms. I haven't been posting much on all other platforms. Sneaker History Podcast. Rohit and I got an episode of the Exhaust Notes podcast in last week, so if you're into Formula One, make sure you check that out as well. And also, there's a rumor that Rohit's going to be writing on Substack soon, so I don't want to put any pressure on him, but I will say find him on Substack and follow him.
Yep, as soon as I figure it out. And thank you for the crash course, as always, Nick. You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky at RohitM13. Hopefully coming soon to a Substack near you, making it a slightly sunnier place. And as always, I'm part of the Nick Engvall cinematic universe, so we look forward to hearing from you. And then for our dearly departed co-host, Robbie Falchi, you can find him on most platforms at RAHBEE702. And Mike Guillory, MadWatcher789. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the fourth member of Voltron, as we've been calling ourselves lately.
Absolutely. Thanks, y'all, for rocking with us. We appreciate you. Peace. Hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. If you want more insights into the sneaker world, I've started a newsletter called The Sneaker Newsletter to share my knowledge of over 2 decades experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link below or go to thesneakernewsletter.com. Last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.